This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Joe Biden has emerged from hiding. He did a little interview. We'll talk about that. Cash Patel made a big announcement. We'll talk about the low-T GOP doing us wrong again. Ned Ryan is here. All that and more coming up on I'm Right. What are you going to do when you retire? We'll get to Joe Biden. This is about to be Joe Biden for a few minutes. But what do you think about when you retire? I'm only 43. I think about it. I'm not retiring. Don't worry. I'm not going anywhere. I love what I do. I'm the most blessed person in the world. But I thought about it. What am I going to do when I retire? You want to know what I'm going to do? I have plans, big plans. I'm going to get a house wherever the grandkids happen to be. Lord willing, I have some by then. And I am going to have hopefully an acre or two. You know, I don't need anything big. Just a little bit of space so the neighbor's not peeing on the side of my house, but close enough to the grandkids so I can go to whatever sports games or concerts or whatever thing they're going to do. And that's what I'm going to do in retirement. See, I've thought about it. Isn't that similar to yours? Whatever it is, maybe you're going to travel the world, buy an RV, but you have plans for retirement. That's what normal people do. That's how normal people think. But then there's these politicians. I'll never get it. Really, celebrities in general, but politicians, it seems to really plague them. They can't ever just go away. When you're older and financially able to do so, don't you want to just go away and go enjoy your family and go enjoy your life in some way like you're planning on, like I'm planning on? Nope. Joe Biden has emerged from hiding. The former president, who's obviously on the back nine of his life, and let's be honest, he can see the clubhouse from where he's at. Joe Biden has emerged from hiding to do a sit-down television interview. Now, what's the motivation behind it? Well, this is about Jill Biden. Let's do a system talk before we get to Joe Biden coming out. Remember, the system takes care of its own. If you are a loyal member of the system, you are never out of work, out of a job. You may transition from this job to that job, from this sector to that sector, but you're never out of a job as long as you're a communist in the United States of America, a Democrat in good standing in the United States of America. You will work for the White House. And then when that election is over, when that presidency is over, you'll work for MSNBC. And then when that's over, maybe you'll go work for Harvard for a while. This is how this works. These people never go into the private sector to actually contribute anything to our country, to our society at all. They just find new and inventive ways to bloodsuck money out of the taxpayer, because they're good standing members of the system. Jill Biden, you didn't think she was just going to retire as the first lady with private security and money and everything she could ever want. You didn't think she was going to retire. She got a sweet new gig. She's running the Women's Health Network at the Milken Institute. Now, you don't know what any of that is. You don't know what the Milken Institute is. You don't know what the Women's Health Network is. Neither do I, but let me spoil it for you because I don't have to look it up at all. The Milken Institute, without even looking it up, I would be willing to bet is staffed by all Democrats. It finds ways to raise large sums of money from either donors or maybe even the taxpayer themselves. And it serves as a slush fund to hand out money to Communist Party members in good standing, members like Jill Biden. And because Jill Biden loves the spotlight, she's not just going to take a gig like that and bring in God knows how much money a year, million a year, half million a year. I'm sure they're treating her quite well. She has to go drag poor old Poppy Joe out for an interview to help get her more publicity. Now, let me go ahead and spoil it for you here. It's a BBC interview, and it's the most edited softball thing in the world. They're not going to take any chances with poor old Joe at this point. Even then, he couldn't get through the thing.
I do fear a little bit. I don't think it's been forgotten by the people. I think it's being forgotten by the leadership a little bit. Excuse my cough. The fact is that, he doesn't say it is. And I think the rest of the world, I know, and I can tell you, the last meeting of the G7, the meeting, the NATO 7, anyway, or the G20, which is a larger group. No, they don't have a point. Look, you have of all the NATO nations.
So back to what we were talking about, why is he here? Joe Biden is an old man, U.S. Senator for a long time, United States President for 4 years. Sadly, we all suffered through that. But as far as resumes go, pretty good one for life. He has a wife, children, such as they are, grandchildren, at least the ones he acknowledges. He has a family, has a place. From what I understand, he loves spending time on that rich person place, Nantucket, out there. Why did they dress him up, put makeup on him, throw him in a suit, and let him go embarrass himself again? Because these people can't ever go away. I find it to be so odd. None of them have your retirement plans, or my retirement plans. I don't understand it. Just go away. He's still talking about the 2024 election.
Should you have withdrawn earlier, given someone else a bigger job?
I don't think it would have mattered. We left at a time when we had a good candidate. She was fully funded. And what happened was, I had become what we had set out to do, no one thought we could do. And become so successful in our agenda, it was hard to say, no, I'm going to stop now. I meant what I said when I started, that I think I'm prepared to hand this to the next generation. It's a transition government. But things moved so quickly that it made it difficult to walk away, to get, and it was a hard decision. But
regrets though?
No, I think it was the right decision. I think that it was just a difficult decision.
But you shouldn't have taken it earlier.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I don't know how that would have made much difference.
Well, that clears everything up. Jeez. And he was president, and this is edited. He's not even a candidate anymore. There's nothing else. This was just as controlled as it could get. And that guy was just president for 4 years. Every answer, just sitting there trying the best he could to make his mind work. He's even got the squinty thing going. Anyway, he did talk about Trump.
When you talk of a threat to democracy, worry about a threat to democracy here at home, here in the United States?
I'm less concerned about than I was, because I think the Republican Party is waking up to what Trump is about.
You think they may fight back?
I think they're beginning to, yes.
But you will know people see laws apparently being broken, courts ignored, Congress sidelined. They don't like what they see.
Well, I think they're seeing that too. I think that's why you're going to... I don't think you'll succeed in that effort.
Now that was the most revealing part of the interview. Notice what he said right there, and did you see the look on his face? Republicans are starting to push back. He's right about that. Notice how pleased it makes him? So let's do a little analogy here before we talk about those Republicans. Because I know you're angry about the communist infiltration of your country and every aspect of your life, every part of the government. And I know you want it stopped, and you're also probably looking for answers about how this happened. So I want you to picture a security guard. I used this analogy on the radio the other day. Security guard who's in charge of guarding a school, kindergarten. And every single day at this school, 10 bad guys show up to hurt the kids. And the security guard stops 9 of them. But the 10th one, every single day, he lets him in on purpose. And he hurts the kids. Let me ask you something. Is that a good security guard? He stops 90% of the bad guys. No, I think we'd both agree that he's an evil piece of trash who's pretending to do his job, but the fact that he's screwing over the kids makes him evil. That's the GOP. That's the Republican Party. It's certainly people like Senator Naked Ken Doll James Lankford of Oklahoma. You see, I want you to know something. If you're angry about the state of things in Washington, D.C., the state of communist infiltration inside the United States government, yes, the Democrats are the communists who are doing the infiltrating, but it is the establishment GOP that holds the door open for them when it really matters so they can infiltrate and walk right into the school. Would you like to know? Would you like a face for that? Here's a face for that.
What's been confusing on this is some people see due process like as an American citizen. That's a right to a jury trial. That's all those different things. That's not true for due process for someone who's not a citizen of the United States. It's a different process. It's often just literally what people call an immigration judge is not a typical federal judge or a state judge. This is someone that's in the bureaucracy that their task for DHS is that task on it. So they're a government employee career. That's an immigration judge. So it's a very different process for it. But yes, there is a need to be able to give an opportunity for someone to be able to make an argument before they're removed in the country. It's just who is that and what is that process?
Oh, yes. I realize the communists brought in 20 million people. I, James Lankford, tried to help them bring in more. Remember, that man stood with Democrats trying to pass an amnesty bill last year, giving Democrats cover on the issue. And now that the Trump administration is trying desperately to get these people out, we have United States senators from red states going on television talking about the need for due process for all these illegals, of course. Of course. It is red state GOP senators that are holding the door open for communists to destroy this country. Look at Ed Martin. Look at this Ed Martin situation right now. Ed Martin needs to be the top dog, the top U.S. attorney in the D.C. area. That D.C. court system is the most evil court system in the history of this country. It is on par with the evils of the Soviet Union's court system. That's how bad it is there. And so it must be cleaned out. Ed Martin's there trying to get it cleaned out. We have a GOP Senate. Why isn't he being cleared? Because red state Senator Tom Tillis is stopping it, which of course begs the question, where's leader John Thune at? Why isn't John Thune getting this whole thing in order? John Thune was asked about it. John Thune chose to, well, this is in politics known as punting the football, just handed it back to the committee.
Ed Martin obviously is a decision that's going to have to be made by the Senate Judiciary Committee. My understanding is they haven't settled anything on that yet. So, we will cross that bridge if and when we come to it. But it's ultimately going to be a decision that the Judiciary Committee makes first.
Hey, it's up to the Judiciary Committee. Of course, he knows Tom Tillis on the Judiciary Committee is going to blow the entire thing up. But they're all trying to do the dance. Let's stop any real reforms. We want to stop anything. Hey, we don't want anything to change, but we don't want to risk Trump's wrath either. John Cornyn sat on the sidelines. John Cornyn has a primary next year, a primary he's currently losing, according to the polls. He sat on the sidelines with this whole Ed Martin thing right up to the point where he found out Tom Tillis was going to blow up the nomination. Then he came out and supported Ed Martin so as not to risk Trump's wrath. That's how it works in D.C. The Republican Party, namely GOP senators from red states, are the ones holding the door open for communism. Remember that. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We'll talk to Ned Ryan about this and many other things in just a moment. Let me talk to you about why your feet hurt. Your feet hurt at the end of the day because your shoes suck. That's why your knees hurt. That's why your back hurts. Your shoes are not... they're not absorbing all the shock of you walking around on those feet. So your feet are absorbing it, and your knees and your back. That's what G-Defy is all about, gravity defier. They're shoes with special technology in them. The technology that takes all the burden off your feet, your knees. My legs feel so much better at the end of the day. I have so much more energy. I want to move instead of just, get off my feet. No more. You want a good deal on it? Text Jesse to 9188, get you a big fat discount. Jesse to 9188. We'll be back. Well, Ed Martin being in there is a really, really, really important thing, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen. And again, as we talked about, it's not going to happen because Tom Tillis, a red state Republican senator, is stopping the entire thing. So what is it about Ed Martin and the role he's supposed to fill? What is it? It's not January 6th. None of these dorks actually care about that. It's got to be something else. Joining me now, Ned Ryan. He is the executive producer of a documentary I hope you've already watched, American Leviathan. It's free. It's freaking free. It's amazing. American Leviathan, highly recommend it. Ned, what's Tom Tillis' problem with Ed Martin?
Besides the fact he's a weak puke. this to me is one of the things, Jesse, I know you've been doing this a lot on X. I fully agree with you that it's really time for the red state to upgrade a lot of these senators in the primaries next year, whether it's Tom Tillis in North Carolina. It's too bad that we don't have another shot at a primary until 2030 with James Lankford, but we do have a shot at Cassidy in Louisiana. We've obviously got a shot at Cornyn in Texas. I would argue Lindsey Graham in South Carolina and Joni Ernst should also be considerations for primaries in 26, because this is the part that disgusts me the most. Donald Trump won in November. Because of Donald Trump, I truly believe this, Republicans have majorities in both the House and the Senate. Donald Trump won. He won the presidency against all the odds in what I consider one of the greatest political comebacks ever, Jesse. He won. He gets his nominees. I don't care if you dislike his nominees, hate his nominees, don't think his nominees are the best. Guess who won? Donald Trump. Donald Trump has put up Ed Martin to be the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia. He is the acting attorney at this moment. The term expires on May 19th. Why does Tom Tillis hate Ed Martin so much? And let me explain a little bit what the problem is. There are 23 members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, 12 Republicans, 11 Democrats. If Tom Tillis decides to go through with not voting for Ed Martin, he will not make it out of committee and get to the floor of the Senate for a vote. I mean, this to me is one of those things where vote him out of judiciary, get it to a floor vote. And I actually think what Tom Tillis is doing, Jesse, is probably protecting a handful of other Republicans who really don't want to vote for Ed Martin, and they're making Tom Tillis jump on the grenade. Because I do think they are in some ways worried about Jan 6. I would actually push back a little bit on that, because I do think they don't really want to have a full conversation about the Fed's direction, what actually happened that day. But the other reason, and I think this is really one of those things, the swamp creatures don't really want reform to come to the swamp. And the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, which Ed Martin would be, actually has a lot to do with draining the swamp, reforming the various departments and agencies that I think are deeply corrupt. Jesse, I think they like the status quo. And I think they deeply resent Donald Trump. I think they deeply resent the idea that the swamp should actually be drained. And the role of the U.S. District the Attorney for the District of Columbia is a very key role in the draining of the swamp. And I think that's one of the reasons they're fighting Ed Martin.
Well, Tillis made it pretty obvious. I mean, when he was asked why he wasn't going to support him, Tillis flat out said, if he was going for any other U.S. attorney position, I probably would. But since it's for D.C., I can't do it. What is it about this role that protects the swamp? What do they do, Ned?
Well, the district attorney for the district, the U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia, I mean, he's involved with approving a lot of FBI investigations. A lot of the reform efforts that would go through the DOJ, they would go through Ed Martin's office, right? There are a lot of people who are deeply comfortable, very comfortable with the status quo of how D.C. has operated for decades. And I appreciate the shout out for American Leviathan documentary. It's really been going on for over 100 years. They don't want to see this change. And the foundation for the swamp that Trump wants to drain is the administrative state. And the corruption that runs rampant inside the administrative state is where Ed Martin's office would actually be dealing with. And oh, by the way, too, the other parts of this that Ed would bring to the table, Jesse, I mean, he wants to make D.C. safe again. I live an hour outside of D.C. I think the thing that's kind of appalling to me is that Ed Martin's made it very clear, I want to make D.C. safe again. And you got Tom Tillis sitting up there going, but January 6th, Ed Martin was one of the first guys to come out and defend the January 6th people that were unfairly prosecuted by Matthew Graves, the previous district attorney, U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia. And Ed Martin was fighting that. And now he gets to go in and actually set things right, not only with January 6th, but also the corruption inside Washington, D.C., which is rampant, I think.
Ned, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about that draining of the swamp at places like the State Department, the Pentagon, yep. EPA. I realize this is not a snap your fingers and make it happen thing because of all the protections these vile little communists have, but how are we doing so far with that?
I think we have made significant strides in the first 100 days. It appalls me when I see people on X whining and complaining that somehow Kash Patel and Dan Bongino haven't already fixed the FBI. I mean, this is years of corruption in the making. This is a heavily politicized agency with the FBI, and they think that somehow less than 100 days, because Bongino obviously is not there for the full first 100 days, that somehow it's going to be fixed and rectified. Like, guys, give it a hot second. Let them cook. This is something where it really frustrates me with the grassroots who I work with closely with American Majority. Like, be patient. Donald Trump won, but Donald Trump winning in November on November 5th is just the beginning of the solution. In fact, I would argue, Jesse, his winning and giving us a four-year window is just kind of the end of chapter one, if we're being honest. Like, this is not going to be fixed in 4 years. I think we could go a long ways towards getting it fixed. But I think you'd have to have political power for a total of at least 12 years with the right people in the right place implementing the right policies to truly bring about a restoration of representative government and breaking apart of the administrative state and fully draining the swamp. So, guys, let's get behind who's there. Could you ask for anybody better than Kash Patel and Dan Bongino at the FBI? And I think you're seeing a lot of these different nominees, Bessent at Treasury, all these nominees and people that have now been confirmed, starting to put in place the reform items that Donald Trump has wanted. But let's be realistic. We didn't get here overnight. We're not going to solve this overnight. The last thing I want to say, though, really quick, Jesse, about Ed Martin. If he is not confirmed by May 19th, when his term as acting expires, guess who gets to appoint his successor? Judge Boasberg, who has been front and center in fighting the Trump agenda on a whole host of series, specifically on deporting illegal aliens. You really want that guy to be appointing Ed Martin's successor? Tom Tillis should be deeply ashamed of himself. I mean, I know he's already got one primary challenger. I hope that there are maybe one or two others that are fully funded that can take him out in a primary and set the tone and say, if you are going to fight on behalf of the swamp, we inside the GOP have no need for you anymore.
Yeah, let's hope so. Ned, I know it takes time.
Yep.
Where do we go after Trump is done? My question, and I ask it this way. I realize the Democrat Party is unpopular because they're a bunch of rude, ugly freaks and nobody wants them anymore. But Donald Trump has been the seminal figure, the central figure of the GOP for now a decade. That's how long it's been.
Right.
What happens when he's gone?
I would argue the next 3 years about it is who will take up the mantle of who will be a strong advocate that firmly believes in America first. And I think the one that really stands the chance to either take up the mantle or fail at is obviously J.D. Vance. And I think J.D. is moving in the right direction. Has he fully sealed the deal with the base, the America First base? I don't think so. Is he headed in the right direction? I do believe that. I think 2026 is going to be a real test for him, Jesse. He's been made the finance chair of the RNC, obviously in the first midterm of a president's first term. Again, it's a little unusual with Donald Trump since it's non-successive terms, but usually the midterms don't go well. And so I think JD has a real test in front of him. If he can somehow manage to keep the House and a GOP majority and obviously the Senate, I think he continues to set himself up to be the successor in 28. But, you know, there's 3 years, which is like, I don't know, 20 political lifetimes away from here.
No doubt it is. I just assumed we were going to get killed in the midterms, Ned, just because that's always how it goes. Do you not think that?
I think the Senate map looks a lot better for us than people want to acknowledge. I've also looked at the House map. It's going to be tough, Jesse. I think right now it's a coin toss for the House majority. Looking at these districts where they are and some of the margins, I don't think it's as done a deal as some people might think that Republicans are going to lose the majority. Is it going to be an all-out battle royale? 100%. Is it a legitimate shot that we could keep a narrow majority in the House? Yeah, I think we've got a legitimate shot looking at the numbers, because I've already started doing the research on what our 2026 plan should be with American Majority Action. I'm not overly confident. I want to make that very clear. I don't think it's a done deal. We'll keep the House majority, but it is not out of the question.
Ned, as always, I appreciate you, brother. Come back soon. All right. The spending bill. Chip Roy has some things to say. We're going to let Chip say his piece here in just a moment. Before we get with Chip, let me talk to you about sleeping. Sleeping well changes your whole life. It's not 8 hours. It really determines how your whole life is going to go. How you're going to feel at work, home, play. Did you sleep well the night before? Dream powder from Beam guarantees you will sleep well. And without drugs. That's really important to me. I realize that every doctor has a prescription for something that'll put you to sleep. Every pharmacy, gas stations sell the stuff. Well, I'll just buy this. And don't do that. Natural things. A cup of hot chocolate that's dream powder will put you to sleep. And you will wake up feeling great. Up to 40% off at shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back. All right, let's get ugly here. Let's talk about the freaking spending in this country, which is a disaster. And we know Chip will shoot us straight like he always does, whether or not it's comfortable. Joining me now, a great congressman from the state of Texas. Chip, it's not you. It's not you that I'm down about. I just see a big screw job coming because we have a big, beautiful bill, which is anything but what's happening, what's going to pass. It all sucks.
I figured when you said let's get ugly now that I thought it was just that, you know, I have a face for radio and you were being pretty blunt about it. But, you know, that's all good. I can take it. You know, D.C. is Hollywood for ugly people, and I'm used to it. It's cool. I'm good with that. So look, here's the deal. I'll cut to the chase. We all want to deliver on what the president ran on, right? You do, I do, most of the people that I represent, America First agenda. Let's do what we need to do to cut taxes. Yes, extend the tax cuts. But we have to deliver on the spending side. The president's been serious about that. He talked about it in the inaugural address. But of course, Republicans are never serious about that. So we've set this up and we're having this fight right now within the Republican Party about how to get there. I have been very purposeful in not drawing red lines, right? I have not said, well, if I don't get this, I won't vote for the bill. If I don't get this, I won't vote for the bill. Because for me, I'm trying to figure out what we need to do to get 218 Republicans rallied together to actually deliver. But here are the sticking points. We have Medicaid reform, which is necessary. Now, let me be very clear about that. The House budget increases spending on Medicaid. Okay, it increases spending by 25% over the decade. Yet everybody's running around saying, we can't cut Medicaid. We can't cut Medicaid. Only in D.C. is a reduction in the increases a cut. But by reducing those increases, we can actually save a pretty significant amount of money to try to get to balance. Let me say one more point on that. There's something that I'm not going to nerd out on too much for your listeners to bore them. But something called FMAP, which is the rate at which the federal government is funding this program rather than the states. The able body, that is, that were expanded under Obamacare, which we all campaigned against, which we all opposed just a few years ago, that expansion population gets 90 cents on the dollar, 90% from the federal government. Here you go. All of that money compared to 50 to 70% for the vulnerable population, the sick, the single moms, the elderly, the people who are actually vulnerable. And we can debate all of this, but in what universe should we be giving more for able-bodied people under Medicaid than those who are vulnerable and sick? Under what world should we be giving more to people on Medicaid than we do on Medicare? In what world should we be giving people money on Medicaid if they're not eligible for it or if they're illegal? That's what we're trying to fix. And some of my moderate colleagues are going, we can't do this. We might lose our elections in 18 months. Dude, your election certificate isn't worth spit if you don't actually deliver on the stuff we said we would do. So that's the core of the fight, Jesse.
Okay, so shoot me straight on this, Chip, because you got elected. I definitely didn't. I lost two races. Does Medicaid spending get Republicans elected, or cutting Medicaid spending? Does that cost Republicans elections?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of the central point, right? Like, I understand that President Trump has built a new coalition. You do too. I like that new coalition. A lot of hardworking Americans. Yes, some of whom are on Medicaid. But the Republican position that those hardworking Americans supported wasn't the promise of federal benefits or giveaways. It was the promise of sanity, of a secure border, of the opportunity to go achieve and to make money for their families. It was, yes, to be able to go to the doctor of their choice and to afford health care. Absolutely. But they didn't go to President Trump because President Trump was going to buy their votes. They went to President Trump because President Trump was saving America. That's what we're supposed to be doing, saving America. So look, I want to make sure that we cut spending enough to balance the budget. I'm not looking for something draconian, Jesse. I'm not, this is not some, you know, philosophical debating society. I'm staring at $37 trillion in debt. The House budget that my moderate friends say they cannot find the spending reductions to achieve would still leave us $56 trillion in debt in 10 years. That is asinine. I want to do better than that, but I want at least that. I want to repeal the Inflation Reduction Act subsidies that are destabilizing the Texas grid and causing me to have battery plants and solar panels in the beautiful hill country in Texas because they're getting free money that are subsidizing and enriching the Chinese. Why can't we repeal that? We said we would, but a bunch of Republicans are saying they won't do it. And I say, you know what? To hell with that. I'm going to do what I said I would do.
So the Republicans saying they won't repeal the IRA, they're just Republicans getting fat federal checks for their district, right?
That's exactly right. And so to be clear, the CBO said that we could save about $750 billion. Right now, I'm being told that they're going to find $400 billion in savings. You know what that really means is $350 billion or a bunch of the, hey, I need to bring home the checks to my corn states, or let me be fair, there are Texans. Oh, we have oil and gas companies that wanted their free money too. I don't mind walking into Houston, where you are, or going out to Midland or in Austin and walking into the boardroom and saying, guys, I am opposing the subsidies that you're taking on the back of your children and my children and our grandchildren. I have no problem telling Texans that. We should not be doing that and selling out the future of our country to walk into a room and say, oh, we're bringing home your free subsidies. They're not free. They're killing our country.
Let's switch gears to something else disheartening, Chip. The judges. Everyone's mad. Everyone's mad, and everyone's getting more and more disheartened as we wake up every day and we check our phones and we find out, wait a minute, yet another judge stopped what I voted for. We can't, it's, look, we're losing legitimacy fast. There's a lot more at stake than just deportations.
Yeah, that's right. And I'll tell you, I think we need to do a lot. A lot of people talk about impeachment. That's fine. I think some of these guys have crossed lines that we should impeach them. I don't know if the Senate will convict, but I don't want to waste a lot of time sort of tilting at windmills. If we can go make a case, let's do it. What I think we need to do is use our constitutional power to restrain the jurisdiction of these judges. I think we ought to restrain the budgets of these judges. I think in the reconciliation process, we ought to be looking at the budgets of the D.C. courts that are abusing their power. But here's an important one, Jesse. I think, and I sent a letter to the speaker today saying that when we put this final package together, we should do something important, which is to say that we've got these immigration judges we're funding with staff. They can process all of these claims. They're constitutionally, they're empowered. They can do that. But we should take away the ability of these non-citizen, these illegals, to get into Article III courts and have these judges just make these random unilateral decisions. We should force them into these executive branch courts where they can get the process that they deserve under the Constitution, but then we can make the determinations and remove them. So I think we need legislation to do that, force them into the right places, let the president and go out and execute and follow the law, and then make sure that we can do the job that he said he would do. We've only removed about, I don't know, 15,000 people from the interior, not because Tom Homan and ICE and the president and those great men and women aren't doing a good job, but we got to do more. They need beds, and we need to move them faster. We got to get them out.
Congressman, as always, I appreciate you very much. Stay in the fight. All right. Let's talk about, well, speaking of budget items, the FBI wants some money. Let's talk about the FBI. Before we get to the FBI, let's talk about you and how you feel. How do you feel? Full of energy? How's your mood? Do you find yourself randomly down and you can't really explain why? Listen, we drink estrogen now. It's in the water supply. It's in the plastics. We shower in it. It's awful. It's absolutely terrible. What it's doing is it's destroying the testosterone of the country. We've lost half of our T levels, 50% in 50 years. Chalk naturally is trying to change it. Naturally. Natural herbal supplements. They have female vitality stacks for the ladies. They have male vitality stacks for the men. Men, you understand 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days? That's almost instant. Boom, you'll be a different person. Try it. If you don't feel better after 90 days, cancel the subscription. Plus, they're giving out big fat discounts on subscriptions. Chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. All right. Let's talk about the latest and greatest and worst about the FBI, DOJ, and all that. Because, look, Pam Bondi, Attorney General Pam Bondi, did come out and made an announcement today about arrests of a bunch of pedos. Who she was?
Today, we are proud to announce the results of the FBI's Operation Restore Justice Initiative. This historic, unprecedented nationwide operation led to the arrest of 205 child sex predators. Unbelievable. In just 5 days.
Okay. Well, that's obviously a good thing. 205 monsters taken off the streets, always a good thing. Cash Patel got up, he talked about it.
I also want to just take a moment to emphasize the priority of this Department of Justice and this FBI. Our children. If you harm our children, you will be given no sanctuary. There is no place we will not come to hunt you down. There is no place we will not look for you. And there is no cage we will not put you in should you do harm to our children. The prioritization of this administration and General Bondi has made it abundantly clear to child predators. You will be hunted down, and you will be prosecuted.
It's hard to complain about predators being taken off the streets, and I am not complaining about it. It's a good thing. Also, let's understand the game that's being played. You can argue that it has to be played, but Cash Patel went before committee today and asked for $10 billion for the FBI. The FBI, in fact, I'll read you this text message I got from a FBI special agent. So how about that? FYI, the FBI bragging about arresting child predators is a rebrand. They do this every year. They just change the name of the program to play the conservative media. Used to be called Operation Cross Country. It was done for 20 plus years. That's verbatim. I just read it off my phone. I'm not complaining about the arrest of a bunch of child sex predators. Good, throw them in the middle of the Pacific Ocean for all I care with a bunch of shark chum around them. That all sounds great to me. And I'm not genuinely complaining about Bondi or Cash Patel. I am, however, very wary right now. I'm wary of being played. We've had this conversation before. It's not that I feel like we're being played. I'm worried we're being played. I want child sex predators arrested as fast as humanly possible. But that's not the top priority right now for me. Saving the country involves arresting FBI agents, politicians, bureaucrats across the federal government. It's what we need. We need the Epstein people exposed. Exposed. Pam Bondi talked about this.
The FBI, they're reviewing, there are tens of thousands of videos of Epstein with children or child. And there are hundreds of victims. And no one victim will ever get released. It's just the volume, and that's what they're going through right now. The FBI is diligently going through that. I haven't seen that statement, but I'll call him later and find out.
FBI is diligently going through it. That is interesting because the FBI is the one who covered it up. I mean, you remember the FBI raided Jeffrey Epstein's New York home. Jeffrey Epstein was famous for videotaping everything. I know. But during that raid, they found a drawer with a bunch of home videos, DVDs, bunches of them. You can go look at a picture of it. It's on the internet. The FBI decided they weren't going to take anything in the drawer. The agent in charge, well, I mean, we can't take that stuff. They were ordered later to go back and get the video. The videos had all been removed, of course, by the Epstein people. But you want me to believe that same FBI, same agents, they're now digging into it, diligently just going after it, same way they went after Larry Nassar. I mean, look, James Comer came out. He flat out thinks things have been destroyed.
I hope James has the Epstein files because I don't think the Department of Justice has them, or at least the Attorney General does not have them, or she would have turned them over. The President ordered them released. The Attorney General ordered them released. We all know they have not been released. And one of my biggest fears that I had, and I expressed this with Kash Patel and a lot of people, Stephen Miller and a lot of people going into the new administration, I'm like, you know, I hope they're not shredding documents right now. This was a few weeks before the transition. I said, I hope they're not shredding documents. But you all need to go on that first day and try to get all this stuff released because, you know, my fear is from what I've dealt with in investigations and in communication with this deep state apparatus is they're probably in there shredding documents as we speak.
The criminals inside the federal government are destroying evidence. There's a reason a paper shredder truck parked out in front of the DOJ before Donald Trump got sworn in. There's a reason the DC swamp delayed Kash Patel's confirmation as long as they possibly could. They delayed Pam Bondi's confirmation as long as they possibly could. Why did they do that? Neither of those confirmations were in doubt. Why did they do it? They were playing for time, you see. They were busy taking care of things. So back to what we talk about. I'm really happy we got some child sex predators off the street. I am. I hope it's not 4 years of this. Tossing me a little red meat morsel you know I'll cheer about when it's government people I want to see. Call me when it's a press conference for 205 FBI agents who've been arrested. Anyway. Let's do Light in the Mood. Next. All right. It's time to lighten the mood. And I do so enjoy when the House has these committee hearing days, especially when we have someone who's really solid and sharp sitting in front of them, because the Democrats in the House of Representatives are mostly morons. And they love to advertise the fact they're mostly morons. And they always throw some emotional hissy fit about something. Scott Bessent sat in front of the House today, and a Gregory Meeks Democrat freaked out about what he said.
Who has been the president since January 20th, 2025?
Donald J. Trump.
Okay. And who was the president in 2024?
One believes President Biden.
One believes? You one of those non-believers that the election, the American people didn't vote?
I am not.
You're not? You said one believes? Do you believe in the Constitution of the United States? And this should be abided
by? I believe in the Constitution of the United States.
So you believe in it without any second thought? You don't have to think about it. You believe in it, and you would abide by it. Is that correct?
I have, and I do, sir.
Okay. Well, do you know that a president has said he may or may not? He don't know?
That was awkward. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed Human.